Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. RainbowWeddingNetwork.com was launched in September 2000 and has been a trusted LGBT wedding resource for 16 years. RWN has produced an ongoing national tour of LGBT wedding expos with over 150 events in 30 different states since 2003. We also offer an extensive online directory with screened gay-friendly wedding and home-related businesses, a free honeymoon registry, customized wedding webpages for couples, LGBT-specific ceremony planning tips, parenting resources, and more. Check us out online at RainbowWeddingNetwork.com and also at SameLoveSameRights.com for further information or to make a donation to help keep this podcast going strong. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. We are excited to be with you on this chilly day in December. It's December 16th, 2016. We're here with the team from RainbowWeddingNetwork.com. I'm Mary Ann, one of the founders. Also here today is Cindy.
Hello.
And Ira.
Hi, guys.
And also Lauren is with us today.
Hi.
So we are going to be talking about a few fun subjects. One of them, of course, the current events going on here in the USA. We recently had our presidential election, so we'll be touching base a little bit about politics today and the implications that we see ahead for the LGBT community. We're also going to be talking about our ideas for the 2016 Persons of the Year with regard to Woo-hoo. LGBT equality. And also want to start things off by talking about 2017 wedding trends that we are seeing on the horizon. We talk to a lot of couples all across the country here at Rainbow Wedding Network. We see many of them face-to-face while we're on our tour of LGBT wedding expos all across the nation. So we kind of have our finger on the pulse, as it were, with regard to what's going on. And then, of course, we like to do our own research, too, so that we can fill you in on what's trendy, what's going on, what's fresh, and what's on that horizon for 2017. So we look forward to chatting with you today.
Yes.
We are going to start things off by talking about weddings, because that's fun, and that'll warm us up here, because it is quite cold today. So, Cindy, if you would start us off, I know that you were looking into ceremony colors, what's the new palette for 2017, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, so exciting. But first,
yeah,
before we announce the spring 2017 Pantone colors, we must wrap up.
Yes.
With the 2016 Pantone Color of the Year.
Oh, yes.
I know you guys have been losing sleep over this.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, haven't you
Didn't
all been
even
losing
know
sleep?
It was a thing.
It's a thing. It is an important thing.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Are you ready?
Yes.
There were two Color of the Years. Colors of the year. Yeah. Only one year, but two colors. Phew. It is cold around here, and we've all been drinking heavily since the election. Okay, so, drum roll. 2016 Pantone Colors of the Year. Rose Quartz.
Wow.
And Serenity, which was a baby blue.
Yeah, I was going to say,
really?
I have to describe those a little bit more.
Yeah, but.
That sounds very much like baby colors, not wedding colors.
Yeah, I know, exactly. No, we're Pantone 2016 Color of the Year. Yeah,
I know before because there was two.
There were two colors.
We need it. We need the gay colors of the year.
All right. Well,
because I'm not sure that would be the same.
Yeah. Well, that was it. I'm just letting
you're just
you
reporting.
Sleep. I'm just
reporting. You're on the spot reporting.
That's right. I'm just letting you not think about that at 3 a.m. when you wake up and be like, man, what was the 2016 Pantone colors of the year?
Yeah. Now we can move on.
Yeah. That earworm is planted. You are in trouble now at 3 a.m. when you think, why did they pick Rose Quartz and Serenity? Well, somebody did. So now let's move on to 2017. Spring wedding colors. Are you ready?
I'm very ready. I'm on the edge of my seat. And I'm serious.
Absolutely.
It's always fun to find out what they've picked.
That's right.
I've been thinking about this all year.
That's right. After we've survived Rose Quartz and Serenity... Mm-hmm. You like earthy colors?
Yeah, I think those are pretty.
Love them.
Love earthy colors, right? You know, we should give a little insight around here about Rainbow Wedding Network's office, that we have lots of, you know, four-legged fuzzy creatures around here. We also have, you know, chickens and ducks, but we have a couple of bunny rabbits, right, that yes. live in the office of Rainbow Wedding Network. Mm-hmm. And what's one of their favorite food items that's earthy in color, Marianne Pischel?
Carrots.
Kale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of them. So earthy greens like kale is one of the 2017 spring wedding colors.
I like that.
That's a rich green. So that
yeah, it's a rich, dark kind of green. Primrose yellow.
I wonder what that is. Is that like a darker yellow or a bright yellow?
Like not a pastel.
Yeah, not a bright, like think earthy yellow.
Yeah.
If you can come up with that one.
We're going to have to call Cindy out for not having the swatch cards.
I know. I was going to.
Well, it's radio, you know, so we have to, you know.
Yeah, envision.
Yeah.
How about pale dogwood? Does that put a visual?
No, not at all.
Pale.
Because I know dogwoods can be pink or white.
Yeah, didn't say what, you know, species. All right. Pale dogwood. And one of your favorite bushes, I guess it's a bush, right? Hazelnut.
Ooh.
That the silly squirrels eat your hazelnuts yeah. right when they're ripe, like right before we go out and harvest the hazelnuts,
yeah.
the squirrels eat them all. Hazelnut.
Yeah, sure.
Is a,
well, you know, that is going back a few years because Ira and I, when we used to put together the magazine, one of those color sets that was in vogue a few years ago, what did you say, like 6-7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
was the brown with the deep green
mm-hmm.
And the yellow.
Making the comeback.
Yeah. And I love those colors.
Yes.
I think they're beautiful together. And
absolutely.
You know, of course, for autumn weddings, yes. But even summer weddings, even the springs, if you downplay that brown or you go with a beige,
mm-hmm.
you know, that works so well in a spring wedding, too.
A pale dogwood.
I think they called some good colors this year.
They did. How about, absolutely. I think it's lapis blue, which is a darker blue.
Okay.
And then the last one was flame, which was an earthy orange.
That is a nice name for a color.
Flame.
I like it.
I know. And then, you know, so I started thinking about, well, you know, I mean, what we have been seeing is that weddings, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of trends with the whole eco. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well, but farm weddings
yes.
or table, you know, food to table, I mean, farm to table kind of stuff and more holistic or earthy. So it makes sense that that would be the 2017 spring colors right now. So there you mm-hmm. go. Reporting.
Good job, Cindy Sproul. Wow. Very informative. Nice.
Live from the Pantone office.
That's right.
There's going to be a lot of Googling for those colors.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
We're setting it on fire with flame.
With flame.
Well, I did a little research. David Tutera, who a lot of people think of when they think weddings, predicts that the color palettes will change in 2017 from the bold metallics to the softer brushed metallics that are accented with very clean white. So he got really specific. And he believes that these colors provide a contemporary yet city hip vibe that many couples are going for. He also believes it sets a foundation that lends itself to industrial and modern decor, which he feels is trending this year. So, you know, there you have it from one expert out there. A lot of couples are still, what I'm going to touch on is decor and venues. And a lot of couples still are loving to choose those independent venues as opposed to traditional hotel ballroom type space.
Right.
And I think some of that has to do with what you were touching on, Cindy, which is that a lot of couples are wanting to create more of a sense of community, more of a sense of hominess.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking for the less sterile reception venues and definitely customizing the spaces based on their own particular style, which makes perfect sense, of course.
Right.
And I'm going to touch a little bit more about that shortly, but sort of bridging between David Tutera and where I'm going is that it is still very trendy right now, the industrial spaces.
Yes.
Couples are still really into, you know, the old refurbished factory type work with the exposed brick and the, you know, the metal beams, that rugged look, and then they add their own polish, or they have their wedding coordinator add polish and can decorate in so many different ways. So, you know, that's still very trendy, is those industrial spaces. And David Tutera mentioned that very strongly. Uplighting continues to grow in popularity too, because you can do so much within your space with mm-hmm. the use of the lighting. And then, of course, the fabrics are still in, you know, with those draped fabrics and such, the background, backdrop kind of thing.
Good texture.
The textures, the lighting. If you are somebody who has not entertained the idea of how much lighting and fabric can really change or accent your space for your reception, I encourage you to look online. We see that sometimes at our venues when we produce the expos. We see different vendors bring that in, we see the host venue itself dress up a space. Mm-hmm. It is amazing the transformation that can occur. And even if you're not planning a real glitzy or glamorous type of reception, you might be amazed, you might be surprised if you look up some of those ideas online as to how they can be subtle.
Right.
Or amazingly over the top glamorous or what have you. But there's a whole spectrum there that you can make use of. And it actually can be very budget friendly. So,
oh, I was going to say, you know, 5 years ago, lighting was, mm-hmm. it's now it's, I guess, the type of lighting. It's much, it's more available, readily available nowadays. The cost of the units have come way down. You know, DJs carry lighting now, where it used to be it was a specialty lighting yeah. company. So maybe it was a really, a high-priced add-on that, you know, a lot of people might not have done. But now lighting, you know, to buy those lights, it's not that affordable. I mean, it's not that expensive. And so a lot more different types of companies, DJs and photographers and stuff, they have that available as a package deal. Or even the host venue has them as a package deal now. That
yes.
And you're right, and it's not as expensive as it was 5 years ago, or specialty as it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Other venue options that are trendy right now, as we touched on before, barn weddings, the rustic venues, couples are still very into that barn style decor, not so much country style, but right. more the barn, the rustic feel, as well as vintage. Both of those, of course, lend themselves to lots of the organics, you know, and the going green and the being eco-friendly, which is so important. And again, Lauren's going to touch on that more specifically a little later. But you can also have a barn wedding with the modern decor. Mm-hmm. Some venue spaces sure. really lend themselves to that. You can walk in and have the venue itself be barn-like and then dress it up with the modern decor, and that actually works. The contrast kind of adds dimension to your party, so that's something to consider too if you're somebody who's into those different ideas. You can actually marry them together. Also, as I mentioned before, I think the barn weddings, the vintage style weddings are popular right now because they do help build that sense of intimacy with your reception, which I think, you know, after the contentious election cycle that we've all been through, a lot of couples are looking to create more of a sense of intimacy, more of a sense of community. Just in life in general, but also with their wedding. you know, outdoor weddings obviously are still popular, but I think couples are trending towards indoor receptions or a tented reception that helps bring that sense of closeness. Mm-hmm. So that everybody feels like they connect mm-hmm. at the party rather than, you know, the old-fashioned traditional wedding where the reception tables are separate and disconnected. I think couples are opting more often, not always, but more often towards bringing people together with those large barn-style tables, the family-style eating, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Other homey touches, back to a little bit of decor, that are also popular right now are secondary dessert options. Most couples still want cake. We talk to a lot of couples out there at our expos, and most of them still want a traditional wedding cake. They love the photo ops that go with it. They love, of course, the deliciousness of it. Right. It's a centerpiece. It's not just something to eat, but it is something beautiful to decorate the space. But they are adding a secondary dessert, many couples today, with pies.
Love
or,
that.
You know,
secondary dessert is good.
Yeah, I know.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
with the open bar, yeah. We're good.
Why limit yourself on dessert?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Bring it on.
But the pies, the homemade cookies, they add that homey feeling that nourishes you and your guests in that community sense. Also, candy stations are still quite popular because you can customize the candy based on your wedding colors, your wedding themes. You can let guests go up and fill a bag to take home with them as one of their keepsakes. So it's a lot of fun. Of course, one of the big decor options that's trendy right now along those same lines is the interactive decor.
Oh.
So a candy station with where people can get involved, fill up their own baggie, is something that's of interest to couples. Other interactive decor ideas are like table centerpieces. Couples can use their engagement photos or a copy of their vows that have been written in a stylish font as a graphic. They can take those, put them on the hard card stock and make a puzzle, put it into little decorative tins, and put, you know, let's say you have six people sitting at a table, have six tins for each of the guests, and they're sitting there on the table, and they can then play with those. Or if you've got the large barn table, you know, you have several of those just up and down the table, people to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Helps get them involved. Of course, if you use your vows, it lets them really see those because, you know, at the ceremony itself, they may not have heard your vows word for word, and this gives them the opportunity to see what you said to each other, what your promises were. That gets them involved even more. There's lots of fun ways to do a message wall. A lot of couples still enjoy that. You can do something very rustic, you know, with clothespins and a line across some wall in your venue. Or you can make it look more modern with medals and such. Or you can make it three-dimensional, you know, for the couple to then take home as a decorative item for their home, where guests are writing little messages or hopes and joys for them for the future. So,
and do you think soon there'll be a high-tech where everybody will be texting?
Well, a lot of couples do that,
you know. Have it up on a wall, projected on a wall, so you can see your text or tweets or...
That has to exist out there.
Well, we've been to a wedding where they did that live,
yeah.
But it's not something
Snapchat.
The couple can take home with them.
Well, you know.
So, some couples still want to be able to take something away that's tangible.
That's
right. Absolutely.
Snapchat is tangible.
Is it?
No, but...
If you got the app downloaded.
Right.
You can also, talking about interactive decor, request that your photo booth company customizes your props, or you can bring in props yourself. So, for instance, if you're having a garden wedding, you know, you could bring props like a croquet set or a variety of flowers or kites or pinwheels for guests to play with while they get their photos taken. Or if you're having a winter wedding, you can bring in decoratives like giant foam snowflakes or the battery-operated holiday lights or lanterns with candles or carrot noses and top hats and have people play with that. Just brings a little, you know, a little extra entertainment to your reception, so couples are doing that as well. And one last thing I just wanted to mention that I saw that was kind of fun was for guests to actually create kind of like a treasure box, a time capsule at the reception, where guests are invited to write messages or they're told in advance of the wedding to even bring a little something, whether it's an old photo or, you know, Subway token or something that they have that they remember they got when they were with this couple.
Aww.
Or that they knew about when this couple was dating. And those items are collected in some little treasure box, and that's sealed, and then the couple can go through those on their first anniversary, for instance, and it's just kind of a fun way to collect memories together as a group.
Love that.
Yeah. So those are some fun trends for 2017 with regard to venue choices and decoratives.
Love it.
Yeah.
And if you pick the Pantone colors of the year when you're putting it in your treasure box, yeah, you will remember that forever.
Then you've got it all together.
You've got it. You're on it.
I think Cindy's going to be the new Pantone spokesman.
That's right.
I never want to forget these colors.
That's right.
Another fun topic we can, of course, talk about when we're trending is food. And there were some interesting things when I was researching online that I hadn't quite thought about. I was thinking of particular foods, but I hadn't quite thought about in terms of food trends. One that we're already seeing is couples steering more toward food trucks, food carts, ice cream carts, and this kind of relates to the election, it's more about comfort food, burgers, pizza.
Casseroles, baby.
Casseroles.
Anybody's been with me at an expo knows my casseroles.
Don't we have an Atlanta... Aren't we having a popsicle cart?
Mm-hmm. I think we are.
King of Pops is going to be in Atlanta.
Yeah, in our Atlanta Expo.
I think that's going to be a hit.
I'll make a casserole. He'll have popsicles. We are going to be in heaven. Man, if you are in Atlanta, you need to come out and see that.
People are going to be demanding that casserole. You better deliver some.
I know. I'm going to have to bake a bunch.
Cheesy mac.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Just all kinds of casserole. We'll be in the South. That's casserole heaven. Do it.
You must have been Methodist like me.
That's right.
Some other good foods, of course, in that comfort line were the tacos and other things like that you can get from food trucks. There are also some a little more fancy options if we think about food trucks. There was even a truck that does lobster and seafood and different things like that, fish and chips. So there are a lot of options when you think about those mobile food carts and trucks. So that's something that we've already started seeing, but a lot of different professionals are predicting will be bigger in 2017 as we head in there.
So people, like your guests, can, there's some degree of customization they can have with regard to their choices at these food trucks.
Yeah, and
that's
that,
kind of fun.
That seems to be a trend overall in a lot of ways, with dessert too. A lot of couples are opting for, even though the wedding cake's big, still having something like cupcakes with different flavors so that guests can select their own favorite flavor or try a few different flavors if they're going to go with more options. So those are some big things, too. It's about guest customization. And the same goes with candy stations and candy buffets. Another interesting trend was caramel or fair food, which I hadn't thought of before.
Cha-ching.
Heading into 2017, so you've got your popcorn, your caramel corn, your cotton candy, your...
Wow.
Yeah,
it's like a carnival.
Love that.
I think that's a great idea.
I think Pantone should consider caramel as a name for a color.
It's probably there. It is probably there.
Absolutely.
Pantone's going to be paying us for this.
Yeah. We'll get them in an ad slot later on.
Exactly.
Another interesting theme thought, and I really like this idea, was for 2017 that couples are going to be steering more toward the classic with Gatsby theme or, you know, like Downton Abbey theme and some of those traditional foods. Now, when I was researching some of these, I'm not quite sure how I feel about 1920s fare, what was considered like your mom with the relish tray. And
right.
That wasn't so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's not the holidays without a relish tray.
You guys have got to have one this year.
We do. We're just an honor.
So, some of those different things, ham, which I wouldn't necessarily think. I think of that gathered around the holiday table, but more in, if you're thinking Gatsby theme, that was a big dish back in the 1920s. Cold fried chicken, which is basically chicken and little chicken breast cutlets in an egg wash fried in breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too far departure from what we might be used to.
But it's served cold.
Yeah, but served typically with an ale.
Ah.
But you don't necessarily have to serve it cold, but, you know, the big trend is the cold part there. But if your guests don't particularly like it.
Okay.
Another option were things like Waldorf salad. And the candle salad, which is something I told Marianne, we were actually talking about this a little bit earlier, that was interesting, is typically a fruit salad consisting of lettuce, a bed of lettuce, pineapple, banana, and cherry, using either mayonnaise, cottage cheese or whipped cream as a base, but typically the salad is served with the bed of lettuce, the banana, and the pineapple rings, and then your choice of cream, be that cottage cheese, whipped cream, or your mayonnaise, and the cherry on top of the banana, so it looks like a little candle.
Okay, so, that is so weird.
That goes back to the weird part of the 1920s cuisine. I'm not sure I would have that.
You know,
my
they
wedding.
Didn't live long lives back then either.
It was all the mayonnaise. I'm just saying.
It's the candle salad.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Which, yeah, until recently, I never knew existed. But
yeah.
Another very simple thing, pig in the blanket, pastry pigs, different things like that. Hors d'oeuvres were a big thing back in the 1920s, be it, if you want a little fancier, oysters, Rockefeller, deviled eggs, stuffed mushrooms, crudité with dip, salmon mousse with sliced bread, roasted nuts and olives. So those are some other things to go along with that classic era theme, and if you're thinking 1920s. And then who could think 1920s with Prohibition without thinking alcohol? Gin, champagne. Apparently dessert wines were big back in the
20s. I'm liking that.
So you've got your sweeter wines, which may be an acquired taste, so you might want to provide guests with a few different options. And then another great trend that I like, which I think is perfect for the gay community, is a brunch for your wedding reception. So you can nice. Have breakfast, lunch, have your little social affair at your reception. So that was another great, great idea.
I like that.
Like that.
Love that.
You know, let's go back to this little, what was that called? Banana salad?
The candle salad. Because it looks like a candle. You've got the cherry on top for the flame.
Or something. But, you know, I mean, Lauren will know this. You know, in our family, we have this dish that comes out in the holidays. Marianne knows it's called pink junk.
Oh, yeah. It's not a very pretty term.
It's not a pretty term. But it's
is there mayonnaise?
It's like a cottage cheese. I don't know. It's pink. It's bright pink.
It has like you put the Jell-O mix with the cottage cheese and like some fruit or something.
Yeah,
and there's coconut. I don't care for it.
And it's got coconut in it.
Oh, ambrosia salad. Isn't that the same thing?
I have
no
idea.
Yeah, but this has the Jell-O aspect.
It's got a powdered Jell-O aspect.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and it always comes out pink. I don't know if it... I do not eat it.
Disclaimer, this isn't the what not to serve.
Yes. No, it just...
But you could color it for your wedding.
It goes along with the Pantone theme.
I think it was my grandmother's recipe. It would be Lauren's great-grandmother's recipe. And I never ate it. It was disgusting. But my brother just loves this stuff called pink junk that comes out at Christmas, sits on the table, and we all go, ooh, pink junk. Marianne goes, oh, coconut, and runs away from it.
But I like coconut, just not when it surprises me in the middle of mayonnaise and Jell-O.
Well, my thought was, you know, when's the last time you've seen something that resembles cottage cheese mayonnaise pink junk on any sort of table?
Like, well, you can see various fruit salads, like Waldorf salad, ambrosia, in the grocery delis still.
Yeah, but it's the 90-year-old grandmother that's like, must have the fruit salad, and comes and gets that with a relish tray.
I don't
know. In their right mind buys that stuff?
I don't know.
And if I've offended you, I'm sorry. You don't email me. It's okay. I was just thinking, when you were saying that, I'm like, it's cool that you want to do 1920s, but who in the hell eats that stuff anymore? Besides my brother at Christmas with pink junk.
I just had to include it. It was in it. When I Googled candle salad, they had photos. So if you Google candle salad, there is a photo on
Wikipedia. I am going to have to look that up.
Wikipedia, so you can see
fun.
It.
It's fun to mention on the menu candle salad because it makes you stop and think, and that makes your guests interact, which is very trendy.
Just have it there as a conversation piece. Yeah. Right. Thing, with
it could
a
be
disclaimer.
A centerpiece. Yeah. Dun, da, da, da. The candle salad. Yeah, the guess what's in it. Yeah, you could have like little note cards.
Yeah.
Taste it and guess what's in it. You will maybe not die.
I do have to admit, I am guilty this time of not having the Pinterest, so we don't have the photos ready of the candle salad.
Oh.
And I also neglected, I'm realizing here, Cindy typically does our outline in our notes, and she had a muffin note.
I did. I want wanted to hear
muffin
about
cups. And I was lost as to what those muffin cups were.
Oh,
so.
You remember how
it's
we
supposed
talk?
To be eco. It's part of the eco friendly subject, which bridges right to Lauren, what she's going to talk about. Cindy, fill him in quickly about the muffin tin. They're like muffin cups.
Yeah. Yes, they're muffin cups. So yes, when I did the outline for this, I'm like, somebody better talk about these muffin cups. For eco-friendly, right? So help me explain this, Marianne.
There's companies out there now that have the eco-friendly muffin cups that are either, I don't even remember. Are they made out of
there's
recycled?
There's some that are edible, muffin cups.
Yeah.
Recycled paper.
Or none. Or none? They just make them in the tin, so they're cupless muffins. They're naked muffins walking or whatever, but yeah, I think there's a lot that are edible too.
I'm thinking chocolate.
No, I prefer a naked muffin or a naked cupcake because I just want to put it in my mouth. I don't want to have to work for it.
Well, yeah, right. And I think that's true at weddings. You really don't want to get messy.
And if you have one of those embarrassing moments like me, you forget that some are occasionally double wrapped.
Oh, yeah.
You get one wrapper off and bite down and it'll paper.
It's a good thing the banana salad isn't double cup.
They really aren't eco-friendly.
Two different things. Okay. All right, Lauren, so you're going to talk about eco-friendly weddings.
Save your bosses here. Get us off this hook.
Yes, so I focused on eco-friendly weddings. So I'll start with flowers, of course, buy local. That really goes with everything, you know?
Yes.
Buy local, look for farmers. That goes with food as well. Check out your local farmers. And a lot of times it'll be cheaper because you don't have to pay for shipping costs. And also after your wedding, donate the flowers. They can be reused. They don't have to be thrown away. I can't tell you how many weddings I have been to where the flowers are just thrown away in the trash.
Yep.
Check out, and, you know, we've talked about this here at the Rainbow Wedding Network headquarters. Check out hospitals, retirement centers, really anywhere you think that your local schools where people would like to just look at flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and most will take them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, ask your guests or make it a thing to where your guests can take flowers home. Because, you know, a lot of people don't even think about it. But if you mention it, I'm sure that a ton of your guests would say, oh, I'll take these.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So then with food, again, buy local. Look for your local farmers. A lot of times, I mean, that's a really popular thing now is farm to table. So you can have a farm to table theme to go with a rustic wedding or, you know, it really works anywhere. And the food will be fresh and delicious, of course. So also another topic I focused on was fashion. So pay attention to where your gown is from, who made it. How did your dress get made? Was it, you know, kids in a sweatshop in China?
Right.
Where was it made here in the U.S.? I don't know. Kids, I guess, is the same thing.
There are lots of local designers, you know, you can trust a little bit more if you're having the dress customized and can feel better about
that.
Yeah.
Now, that's where we need the grandmas. You know, back in the day, the grandmas made the dress.
My mom made several dresses for the women in our family when we got married, absolutely.
You do the relish tray.
I think it's also true with the, if you're wearing a tux or a suit, I don't know if any of that came up, Lauren, but a lot of times you don't know where that apparel is made. Mm-hmm. That sometimes can be a little harder if you're renting to find out where those things are made.
Exactly, and that's so definitely for your dress and your tux or suits, or even if you're just wearing flax in a shirt, check out where they're made, who made them, and then also look for cruelty-free clothing for your bridesmaids, for your groomsmen's tuxes or suits, for the wedding gown and for the suit. So make sure you know where the silk came from. And, you know, also look for eco-friendly materials. So if you love the way leather looks, check out pleather. And also think about a paperless wedding.
Yes.
So social media is huge right now. So, you know, utilize that for invitations. So you could do evites or make a Facebook event, make it a big social media deal. And also, I'm sure it'll be a lot easier to chase people down via social media if they haven't RSVP'd than having to pick up the phone and call and then leave a voicemail because you know that they maybe saw your call and didn't want to get back to you right away. Because on social media, you can see when someone looks at your message.
That's right. I love it.
And maybe instead of doing menus for each individual person and programs for each individual person, you could create a chalkboard sign. I know that's really popular right now. So you could have just a chalkboard sign that has the menu, another chalkboard sign that has the layout of a program and the layout of everything that's going to go on at the wedding. So that can help save paper too.
Love it. Yes. And you know, what's nice about going, you know, talking about flowers and food and using your local farmers, you know, where we're at, of course, there's a lot of local organic farmers. Is one, of course, you're supporting your local farmers. Two, like you're saying, the food is so incredibly fresh and delicious. I mean, you might have to get what's in season, which is great as well. You know, it might not be exactly the vegetable that you were hoping for because it's the wrong time of the year. But you're also saving money because you're knocking out the middleman, you know. And so you get directly from your local farmer. So flowers are the same way. It might not be, you know, if you haven't had that dream bouquet since you were five on what your bouquet was going to look like, but you could be flexible with what will be in season. And which farmer you want to use, absolutely. That's a great cost savings and also just, you know, supporting your local farms.
There are some vendors, too, like the Cutting Garden. I think Miriam may remember we've done an article on in the magazine before and worked with that. I think it makes the floral aspect of your, choosing the florals anyway, aspect of your wedding more intimate, more personal, because you can go out. They have, if you Google them online, you will see some of the photos, and it's a beautiful location with fields of lavender and all sorts of flowers. You literally get to go out there, pick the flowers you want for your wedding. So you're seeing exactly where those flowers come from,
right?
And build your own bouquet, and you can do that. Maybe you have the friends who are closest to you come out and help you pick out the flowers of the day. It can become a whole experience, and I'm sure there are a lot of local farms that are similar to that as well.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I was also going to say a lot of people, of course, are using mildly used clothing.
Yes.
And also with the trends towards the vintage looks for weddings, lots of rental companies now are offering plateware and decor items that are used to beautify your wedding, and then they go for someone else, you know, because they're just rentals. And that's a great way to be very eco-friendly with a variety of things, so that you're not purchasing them and then not knowing what to do with them later. They're just rentals, so they can be reused by someone else a second and a third and a fourth time in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, some great ideas for 2017. Thanks for listening in. We are also going to continue on with our podcast, talk about politics, and also name our LGBT Person of the Year. And We'll head right into talking about politics, but first we want to talk about today's sponsor.
The sponsor of today's podcast is Emily Rose Simons. She writes wedding songs, personal, original, and beautiful custom lyrics and music that become the individual soundtracks to your moments. Emily Rose is a musical theater writer who enjoys using her talents to lift up the dramatic moments in people's lives. She loves to sit down with each wedding couple, hear their stories, get a sense of who they are and what they want their song to say. She then creates a song worthy of their love, a performance for the occasion, and a recording and score so the song can be enjoyed at anniversaries for decades to come. Emily also believes a same-sex couple shouldn't have to dance to a song written for and about heterosexual couples for their first dance. No one should feel the need to try to fit into traditional gender roles, especially not on their wedding day. A wedding couple should have all the unique, special, and even brave parts of their relationship celebrated on their day. She doesn't want to write songs that just celebrate love. She wants to write songs that celebrate your love. That's why it's Your Song by Emily. Keep in touch with Emily by email at songsofemilyrose@gmail.com and visit her website for more info, songsofemilyrose.com. All right, our next segment for today's podcast is All Things Politics.
Oh my goodness.
We're based here in North Carolina, in the United States of America. Recently had our presidential elections, which is resounding all around the world, I'm afraid. Cindy, what would you like to talk about today?
Well, about how much alcohol we are all consuming after November 8th. Right? Yeah, the alcohol companies should be getting a nice boost of economy right now.
That's why alcohol is a trend for 2017.
Eggnog and bourbon.
That's right. Yeah, that is a trend for 2017 and will continue to be for the next 4 years. Now, you know, all jokes aside, I don't drink, but all jokes aside, you know, I think we all there's a couple things going on that we need to watch. One that is very predicted that it will happen, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. But first we'll talk about marriage equality. Is that in jeopardy? And, of course, we should start out by saying none of us are attorneys. None of us are lawyers. So, you know, when I'm just going to kind of say it in layman's terms, which may not be exactly correct, but from the best that I could research and try to put it into layman's terms is, you know, will marriage equality be overturned because of the new administration? And, you know, he has said, he flip-flops on it a lot. You know, he's been
the president-elect.
The president-elect has said, what did he say on the 60 Minutes issue about our interview recently was, you know, that's a settled case. The Supreme Court settled that case. You know, but prior to that, in the, you know, election silly season that they had, you know, he would say, oh, yes, I think, you know, marriage equality should be overturned. It's, you know, stuff like that. So we'd go back and forth, back and forth.
But then, you know, he does appoint people and has a vice president who's shown himself to be very anti-gay.
That's correct. And then he, of course, picked Governor Mike Pence to be his running mate, who is now going to be our vice president, who has a horrible history on LGBT issues. So all of that made us go, you know, whoa, holy macaroni, you know, are we going to lose marriage equality? So, you know, a lot of gay rights activists and attorneys say, you know, that it would take a lot to challenge the June 2015 ruling.
The Supreme Court ruling.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But it can happen. I mean, it can happen if Trump, the first condition would be changing the makeup of the court. And we know there's one opening. You know, there could be more in the next 4 years that could change the makeup of the court on who he selects and who gets confirmed and all of that. Then there would need to be a conflict on the issue of same-sex marriage that would compel the court to revisit the issue. So, for example, if a state decided to take away marriage equality or defy the ruling, the June 2015 ruling, then that case could make its way up to the Supreme Court, and maybe you know, that could come into play. Now, is that a reality? We just don't know. Mm-hmm. But is marriage equality going to be overturned next month? No. Is, you know, marriage equality in jeopardy at this moment? No. But is it a possibility down the road? You know, maybe. Maybe. So it's something we have to keep our eyes on and be, you know, be aware of what's going on with the Supreme Court in particular. But this is, I think, the next thing I'm going to talk about, I think, is actually more important than, of course, marriage equality is very important, but this is something that can happen immediately.
This is more pressing.
It's more pressing. It's called the First Amendment Defense Act. It actually was, the bill, it was introduced, it's also known as FADA. It was introduced in June 2015. And what this does is the bill is aimed to prevent the federal government from taking action against people who discriminate against LGBTQ people for religious reasons. And in particular, it provides that the federal government shall not take any discriminatory action against a person on the basis that that person believes or acts in accordance with a religious belief or moral conviction that marriage is or should be recognized as a union of one man and one woman. Then hold on to your socks, people. You ready for this one? This was kind of interesting. Or that sexual relations are properly reserved to such a marriage. So in other words, it would create a special status of protection exclusively for individuals who oppose same-sex marriage or premarital sex. I was curious how they
are going to police that?
Yeah, I didn't want to ask.
Well, not just premarital. During marital, if it's not with your married partner.
Well, they didn't
extramarital.
They didn't want to throw that part.
I mean,
there.
This is a whole big can of worms they're talking about.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, how do you police that second part? But okay. What this does was the federal government would be prohibited from taking any discriminatory action against them, including denying tax exemptions, withholding grants, contracts, denying any federal benefits. In other words, it will require the federal government to prop up anti-gay and anti-sex discrimination. But in a nutshell, what does this do for us? Now, this bill is sitting there. It is ready to go to be passed. They know it will be passed. There are enough senators and House representatives who want to pass it. President-elect Trump has said he will sign it. He supports it. We know Vice President-elect Pence supports this. They are ready to go on this.
So, 8 years they've been itching.
Yeah, it is. What this does for the LGBT community is if you are going to be planning a wedding and you want to call your local bakery or your local photographer, DJ, you could have that awkward conversation with them. You know, this has happened, all across the country. Businesses have said, no, I don't want to, you know, provide my services for your wedding, blah, blah, blah. Some couples pursue that legally. Others just hang up the phone and feel, you know, hurt or whatever and move on. We hear these stories all the time about couples experiencing discrimination when they make phone calls and stuff. But what this would do is this gives businesses the power to discriminate openly against LGBT couples planning their weddings. And I don't know, I think it's going to make things difficult in a lot of ways for couples. So that's something to be concerned about, absolutely.
I think it's always concerning when we talk about writing discrimination into law.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what minority we're talking about discriminating against. It doesn't matter the circumstance, whether it's a wedding or not, or what other, you know, context it's in. But America's supposed to be better than that in terms of writing discrimination into our laws. That just sort of goes against, in my opinion, what we were founded upon. It's not that it doesn't happen. It's not, I don't think any, you know, very few couples come to us and say, hey, you know, this photographer said they weren't comfortable with my wedding, and, you know, and I don't know. It's like, that's one thing to deal with, and as a business owner, if you make a choice you don't want to work with a particular client, that's one thing. But when you have the law behind you saying, yes, I can tell you that your marriage is wrong and it's a sin, and, and of course I'm not going to serve you, what it does is it legitimizes that business owner to not just act on that, but to take it to the next level, which leads very quickly into an endorsement of their hatred. And then they take other actions. And it's just, it's a slippery slope.
It's a bad slippery slope. And it has been predicted by a lot of people that this First Amendment Defense Act will be quickly, the bill will be quickly reintroduced and probably passed and probably signed into law very quickly. And, you know, it's just, it's... It just makes your heart hurt. It also reminds us on why we do what we do, not to give ourselves a big old endorsement and plug, but if you are a couple that is out there planning your wedding, and we are coming to a city with a LGBT wedding expo, drop what you are doing and come to this expo, because this is why it is so important. That company... A company, you know, that when you walk into our expo, you're going to have dozens of LGBT-friendly, super friendly, not just, gee, okay, I'll overlook it, I'll look the other way. These are companies that absolutely support us, support our community 110%, and they want to work with us. They want to celebrate with you on your wedding day. And be a part of that. And so it is so important to come to our expo and make sure that you spend your money with the businesses that support us, and not to accidentally go and hire the you know, wedding cake or DJ or whoever who believes in this stuff and feels like that's okay. And, but, well, they need, you know, they need to make that sale this week, or they need to book that job this week, so they're kind of overlook it. And, you know, it's just, it's become so important now to make sure that you stop, drop, and get to one of our expos. And we're going to try to get to as many cities as we can this year because next year, because we realize how important it is. But, yeah, just make sure you come out, because it's, I don't know, you got to take action in some way. And that's a very basic action. You don't have to go and march on the streets, but just making sure you support these businesses that truly support us is your number one easy way to take action.
Yeah, and the events are also it's a safe haven environment where you can feel comfortable surrounded by people who are like-minded, other couples who are just like you planning their weddings and don't want to deal with the headache of, even at bridal shows now, post-marriage equality, we've heard stories of couples who are going up to vendors and getting rejected. I've had other vendors tell me they're sitting next to a vendor as the vendor's lashing out at a couple at the event who's wanting to hire them. It just escapes me why these businesses would do that, but you don't have to worry about that at our events. You can come out and feel comfortable, feel welcomed, feel supported, and focus on the joy of your day, which is what you deserve.
Another neat thing about our expos, too, is we don't tend to have nationally based companies in a big way. Like, we don't have 20 national sponsors standing there.
Right.
These are primarily, you know, 99% of the business who exhibited with us are locally based. So it plays right into going local. And it also plays into, if you're not necessarily planning your wedding in the immediate future, you can come out and see which local bakers are supporting this event. You know, which photographer. So, you know, you can utilize your services even if it's not for a wedding.
Right.
And that's helpful, too, just to support the cause. Because I think for the next 4 years, we're all going to look for different ways to support the cause that are feasible and something we can handle, even though maybe we're feeling a little downtrodden or we're feeling a little hopeless, feeling a little tough getting out of bed in the morning. But some of these ways, like these grassroots events, like the ones that we produce, are ways you can get out and actually make a difference in a very real way. And it doesn't cost a whole lot of effort. That's hard. This isn't a relatively easy way.
Exactly.
And it's actually fun. So we do invite and encourage people, as you continue to digest what the election results mean, what might be coming down the pike in the near future, to take action, because that will help you feel more empowered and help you get through these next months and years. And find ways that are meaningful to you to take that action, be the change you want to see in the world and all of that. But we've all got to sort of band together, become more cohesive, and continue to work for those common goals, which are non-discrimination.
Yes.
Which are equality. Yeah, which are inclusiveness. Which yes. is a, and we've got to stand up for those things where we can and when we can.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And I think the LGBT community has... I don't know. We have a long history of coming together over many issues. I know that we will all get out there and fight for whether it's women's rights or minority rights or LGBT rights or, we'll be out there doing that. So anyway, that's kind of what I had on the...
Well, I think as we have seen in certain political cycles before, because we... Rainbow Wedding Network has been around now for 17 years, and we've gone through a few elections.
Several of them.
And we've seen various things take place with regard to the political arena, with regard to LGBT equality. I think what we can say from personal experience is those little things make a difference. Showing up makes a difference. Being who you are makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice to know. It's kind of heartening to know that even the little things make a difference. You don't have to donate $1,000. You don't have to volunteer 20 hours a week. But you can volunteer.
You know,
you can donate. You can contribute. You can make a difference. And change does happen. We've seen a lot of change in 17 years.
Oh my gosh, yes.
With regard to LGBT equality.
Mm-hmm.
We have to hold on to those things and keep moving forward and keep holding the vision.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We can do it. We can make it through
the it's
next
important.
4 years.
It's important to keep your hope, your spirits up.
And if you just need a little boost, just, reach out to us on Facebook and we'll send you a little...
virtual hug.
That's right. A little smiley face, let you know we're all in it together. We're going to make it. We're going to make it in our little pool of margaritas or whatever it's going to take for the next 4 years. With the pineapple. No, what was it?
The candle salad.
The candle salad. I'm thinking pink junk. Pink junk and margaritas.
Yeah.
Her hands over there give me the big stop with the pink junk lady. Okay.
Does anybody want to touch on anything else political before we move into naming our LGBT persons of the year?
The only other thing along those lines is we were just talking about the... uniting is to remember, like the businesses represented at the events, we do have allies. There are people who will stand by our side, and we're not alone.
Many allies, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And a good side note, being in North Carolina with our lovely bathroom bill here, is that we threw out our governor. So we have our wonderful Rory Cooper is our governor now, and Marianne and I and our daughter met him, rode the elevator with him for quite some time, had a nice little chat with him in the elevator. So he's a lovely man, and we're going to send him a photo. Maybe he'll remember us in the elevators. When we went to Secretary Clinton and President Obama's rally in Charlotte, we met Mr. Rory Cooper in the elevator. And shook his hand and told him thank you and tried to follow him backstage, but we got shut down in a hurry. So that was fun. But, you know, so on little notes is, you know, hopefully our lovely bathroom bill will soon to go away or something around here. So things might change in some positives here for, you know.
Well, the other thing about it, too, is what I guess I forgot to mention is we've seen in many election cycles before is sometimes some of these tough times serve to wake people up.
Mm-hmm.
They serve to really chisel away the extraneous details and get down to the heart of the matter of what really is important to us as a group, as a community. And so some of these tough times help us see with a lot more clarity what it is we really want, identify it, and move towards it. So, you know, if you are hiding under your sheets having trouble to get out of bed in the morning... also, you know, use some of that as a crutch and realize some of these moments are helping truly to identify for people what matters, to realize we don't want to be divisive.
Right.
You know, we want to bring people together, and we can all work towards that in perhaps more strong ways than we have been.
Yes.
So good things can happen from this.
That's right. You're all right. And something like, and you're right, these kind of election can wake you up and say, okay, now I've got to get involved. Now I have to join locally or nationally. I have to get out there and do that. And so, yeah, absolutely. Change can happen. Hope can come back.
Yes. All right. So we're going to talk about our ideas for 2016 LGBT Persons of the Year or LGBT Advocates of the Year.
Sure. Who wants to go first?
I'll jump in and steal.
Go, Ira. Let's hear it.
Still Cindy's original thought, and I really have to keep going back to, and especially this year, President Obama and the First Lady, because they have done so much for LGBT equality. They've done more than any presidency in our history for the LGBT community. So I think it's important to remember what they've accomplished over the past 8 years. So that would be my pick for LGBT.
I love it. Yeah. We are going to miss them. And they're just class, aren't they?
They are
both
class.
Of them, just class.
And my understanding is we owe a debt of gratitude to their daughters, too, for helping continue to sort of knock on their door of understanding that civil unions was not full equality, and to help mom and dad realize that. So... Yep. Shout out to Malia and Sasha. President Obama and the First Lady are just classy, and just want to hold on to them and keep them in that White House.
Bend them, lead them. I don't.
Yeah.
Well, we have to let them sleep sometime.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. That's a great pick. I like that pick a lot.
Yeah.
Marianne, who
you have? They've stood up for equality in many ways. You know, not just through the legislation that they've worked for, but. They've verbalized it. They've said it. They've walked the walk and talked the talk.
And they won't stop.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing, is they won't stop.
President Obama even said that in his address today. He's going to continue post-presidency to work for equality for all Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the nice thing. We know that they are allies that will always be on the right side of equality. Yeah. Who you got, Mayor?
Well, there's lots to pick from.
There was a lot this year.
Of course.
To pick from.
I love Rachel Maddow.
Yes. Who doesn't?
I mean, you know.
Fabulous.
She's proven herself to so many people,
I think.
We're going
to be, we're going to be leaning on her to help us get through these next 4 years with her expertise. And
many people, you know, many of our political guidance people out there in the world, George Stephanopoulos, you know, Anderson Cooper, whether they're gay or not, they've proven themselves as reporters that we can count on to help give us information that's important. But Rachel Maddow being out and just making such a place for herself in the world as a reporter, and all that she's done in recent years, I think, deserves a big pat on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Rachel.
I love how she explains things.
Yeah, I know.
She can just take what you feel like you're just like, whoa, you know, and she can just explain it in a way where you're like, oh, okay, I'm breathing. And you might have scared the daylights out of me with what you're just saying, but you say it in a way that I can comprehend it, put it in a box, and either be petrified, but know why I'm petrified, or, you know, she just explains things so well. I love that mm-hmm. about her. So,
plus, she's so intelligent, and mm-hmm. I love how she bridges things together for yes. us to understand, not yes. just what's going on right now, but the history of it leading up to it, so we've got the full understanding.
Yes.
Really, even if really
like
work.
I said, even if what she's telling you, like, you're scaring me.
Yeah,
it's like, at least I feel like I'm. You have filled my brain with a lot of good knowledge, in a way that I will remember it.
Right,
it's
right.
not just spewing out facts. She says it and does it in a way that you're like, okay, I got that.
Yeah,
I got now. I feel like an expert.
Right, right.
You know? So thank you, Rachel. I appreciate that. Keep it up, girl.
But you know what? She wasn't actually the person I was naming as LGBT person of the
but
year.
She's a good
she's
one.
A It's my secondary.
Secondary. Go
my
ahead.
First pick was Attorney General Loretta Lynch.
Oh, love her.
Yeah. Excellent mm. pick.
I love her.
I have quotes from her.
That's another that you talk about class.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
With her speech with when HB2 came out.
Well, that's what I have quotes from
oh,
that.
Say it, girl.
I mean, first of all, she stood up after the Pulse shootings.
Mm-hmm.
Helped give us a lifeline. You know, mm-hmm. that was awesome. But she's done so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with regard to the bathroom bill, she said things like, this is not the first time that we have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws that followed the Emancipation Proclamation. We saw it in fierce and widespread resistance to Brown versus Board of Education. We saw it in the proliferation of state bans on same-sex unions intended to stifle any hope that gay and lesbian Americans might one day be afforded the right to marry. That right, of course, is now recognized as a guarantee embedded in our Constitution. And in the wake of that historic triumph, we have seen bill after bill in state after state taking aim at the LGBT community. Some of these responses reflect a recognizably human fear of the unknown and a discomfort with the uncertainty of change. But this is not a time to act out of fear. This is a time to summon our national virtues of inclusivity, diversity, compassion, and open-mindedness. What we must not do, what we must never do, is turn on our neighbors, our family members, our fellow Americans, for something they cannot control and deny what makes them human. This is why none of us can stand by when a state enters the business of legislating identity and insists that a person pretend to be something they are not, or invents a problem that doesn't exist as a pretext for discrimination and harassment.
I remember sitting here listening to her speak and just,
yeah,
you know, just tears. She
very powerful.
Extremely powerful.
And then I just have to finish with this. I mean, the whole speech is not long, so you should go read it in times mm-hmm. of darkness and just, you know, nourish yourself.
Yes.
But just let me read part of the last bit. She said, "Let me also speak directly to the transgender community itself. Some of you have lived freely for decades. Others of you are still wondering how you can possibly live the lives you were born to lead. But no matter how isolated or scared you may feel today, the Department of Justice and the entire Obama administration wants you to know that we see you. We stand with you, and we will do everything we can to protect you going forward. Please know that history is on your side. This country was founded on a promise of equal rights for all, and we have always managed to move closer to that promise, little by little, one day at a time. It may not be easy, but we will get there together." You know, that's just our Attorney General saying that.
You can just drop the mic.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
drop the mic right there. That's
yeah. awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. she is going to be so missed,
yeah.
so missed. We're not even going to who's going to be.
No, we're not
next.
Talking about the new Attorney General. We're talking
no.
about Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Woo!
Who we love.
Yeah.
Man, can she run for office, please?
She has said no.
I know she said no, but
wow. We're going to keep begging her. So well, that was my pick.
That, you're right, Marianne. Anybody who's feeling overwhelmed, look that up. I'm sure there's a video on YouTube, and just play it over
yeah.
and over again. It will make, yeah, I mean, that will help everyone get through, you know, because, yeah.
The Attorney General is a big position in our country.
Well, yes.
This is a high authority figure.
Right.
Taking time to stand there and talk to us, and, you know, very important, very
with
powerful words.
I was coming right out of my mouth when I said that.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have made progress that our leaders even take time to notice our minority. You know, I mean, wasn't that long ago we weren't even mentioned in the margins of the speech that was laying on the floor because it had been cut. You know, so now we're making the headlines and the those authority figures are standing up in support. It's a big deal.
That's an awesome selection. Both of those. All three of those.
Lauren?
What do you got?
So, in lieu of the election and our, you know, how we may or may not be drinking lots of alcohol, I chose a different route for a person of LGBTQ person of the year.
Yay!
I chose Neil Patrick Harris.
Awesome.
Because he is an awesome guy. He's not afraid to be himself. And he can keep us laughing the next 4 years.
And doesn't he have twins?
He does have twins.
He has twins, yeah. Right?
Yes, he has the cutest little twins. I don't know if you saw their Halloween costumes from... Okay, you should look it up. They always have the most creative Halloween costumes.
Aww.
Yeah,
yeah, that's nice that they do a lot as dads publicly, which I think helps. You know, it's so nice for dads, gay dads, to be recognized as awesome and,
yeah, and
healthy, you know, and legitimate. So that's wonderful that they're willing to live their lives in the spotlight somewhat and help show the general public that it's not scary and that it's perfectly fine.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. And he also, you know, he helps out with you know, different charities and everything throughout the year. Recently, at Bono's aid charity that he does, one of the prizes was a chance to hang out with Neil Patrick Harris, a night out with Neil Patrick Harris, for one of the highest bidders.
Aw, that would have been funny.
Yeah. And again, so we can drink our alcohol the next 4 years and watch some Harold and Kumar go to White Castle, and whenever we feel really stressed out and we need a good laugh.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's going to be important to laugh through this.
Yes.
I love it.
Good pick. Yeah, you know, like, just sort of living daily life as a gay man who can be proud and be part of the community and... I don't know, do good stuff in the world. That's important work. That's important work too. Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, with everything that's going on, it's good to have, you know, Ellen Page also, you know, that they're out in the general public and that people can see that just living normal lives.
Yeah. I always try to tell people sometimes, I'm like, you know, if most people knew how boring we were, we get up, we go to work, take the kids to school, go to the, you know, basketball game, you know, do the school activities, you know, things like that. It's like, you know, we're just normal people, just doing our thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I also went along with the kind of funny twist as well. It does have a little election twist. One of our favorite activities around here is after Saturday Night Live is to go find the YouTube clip and watch the Trump when it was the you know, the primaries, watch the Trump and the Hillary Clinton little clips there by Saturday Night Live, and just. And they've kept going, of course. So one of my LGBTQ person of the year would be Kate McKinnon, Saturday Night Live's first out lesbian cast member. Of course, she played Hillary Clinton. And our family favorite there is that Bar Talk episode that she did with Secretary Clinton. And if you haven't seen that, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
That was priceless. That is so funny. Hillary Clinton plays the bartender, Val, right? Her name was Val, the bartender, And Kate McKinnon played Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. That is just so funny. And now...
And it also shows you what a good sport Mrs. Clinton can be, compared to certain political figures.
Oh, I know.
It's like that just kind of shows you the difference in,
Who
you are when you can be a sport about making fun of yourself.
You're not tweeting at 3 in the morning about how horrible Saturday Night Live is, and clearly their numbers are down, and it's terrible, but I'm going to watch it again next week and see how terrible it is.
Yeah.
But now Kate McKinnon has gone on to play...
Kellyanne Conway,
which has been priceless.
Yeah, she's a good actress. She really is very polished.
So we thank you for your humor. Mm-hmm. Our 10-year-old just loves to watch that. We have to make sure we filter it first, but she loves to watch these skits. Alec Baldwin is doing
a fabulous job.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I hope he keeps that up as well.
Yes,
it is good to laugh through this.
It's good to laugh through this. So anyway, that was my pick for LGBTQ Person of the Year would be Kate McKinnon.
We have some solid winners, don't we? Goodness, the Obamas, Loretta Lynch, mm-hmm. Neil Patrick Harris, Kate McKinnon. We've got some honorable mentions in Rachel Maddow and Alec Baldwin. It's like woo.
Yeah.
You got
Anderson
some awesome
Cooper,
people. Yeah, Anderson Cooper.
And of course, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
I mean,
Ellen Page.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people out there to help us not feel alone.
Right. Yes. So, and we could keep going. There's so many that we could add to the list. Absolutely. But these were just ones that we felt strongly that we should come out and mention. So.
Yeah. So, 2016 was an interesting, tumultuous, incredibly intense year, but we thank you all for being involved with us here at Rainbow Wedding Network, and we look forward to doing more podcasts very soon in 2017. Looking forward to talking more with you about LGBT weddings, the industry itself, what's going on here and there with the politics of the day, and having fun together. So thank you for tuning in. Be sure to check us out online at rainbowweddingnetwork.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/rwncom, at Twitter at Gay Weddings, and for more information, again, visit us on the website. Thanks for listening.